I didn't. It's always easier, I find, not to make New Year's resolutions, which is strange because I come from a very Scottish family. At New Year's Eve at our house, when I was just a wee lad, a long time ago, it consisted of us all going outside at midnight and banging dustbin lids. You probably don't know what dustbin lids are, but banging metal dustbin lids together. I don't know why, probably to ward off bad luck. And then, of course, we all sang Auld Lang Syne to mark the end of the old year and the beginning of the new. And for the heathens and the infidels among you, Auld Lang Syne was written by Robbie Burns in the 1780s, and it refers to old times past. And it speaks basically of remembering the past, specifically old friendships. And it's a very emotive song. This year was different. Neva and I went to bed at 9:15 after watching the Sydney fireworks on television, and that's sort of what we do these days. But I remember too, back in the very olden days of my youth, some poor random dark-haired older cousin had to stand outside the door at midnight and first foot, which was the first foot inside your house in the new year, and he had to come in carrying a piece of coal and a bottle of whiskey and I forget what else to ensure good fortune for the year ahead. These strange traditions that seemed quite normal at the time. But the past and the future, we tend to dwell on both at New Year, don't we? So we have to ask the question, should we be looking backwards or should we be looking forwards to the past or to the future? Of course, it isn't quite that straightforward. There are a lot of things to consider. But it's not a new question. It even wasn't even a question for Robbie Burns' time. It's a question that was posed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians. No, Paul didn't write this letter to talk about the new year specifically, but he very well could have. How much do we, desperately or otherwise, live in or for the past? And why? In her book, Anne of Green Gables, Lucy Maud Montgomery wrote, "Isn't it nice to think that tomorrow is a new day with no mistakes in it yet?" We could say the same about a new year, couldn't we? For the first couple of days, anyway. So what is Paul saying to us when he writes in Philippians, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead"? We need to remember, if we're going to consider this, that the letter to the Philippians is full of joy and thanksgiving. Christ is mentioned 40 times and he's present throughout the letter. And in this context, Paul is concentrating on moving forward towards Christ, reaching for a goal that is yet to be achieved. He's working to forget the past, not just the failures, but also the accomplishments. And why? Because to Paul, what is done is in the past, while in terms of our spiritual growth, what is still ahead is more important. And what is still ahead shouldn't be compromised by holding on to things that we're able to let go. And one thing about the past, we can't change it, can we? So why do we do this? Why do we tend to cling to the past? Is it nostalgia? Is it fear of today or tomorrow? Is it because we're more comfortable with things that have happened than with things that are yet to happen? Is it to do with age or uncertainty? Do we enjoy wallowing in nostalgia or in old resentments in some cases? So this morning, as we've barely entered 2022 and all that it might hold for us, I'd like to take a sort of spiritual inventory, a church view and a personal view of where we should be as we enter a new year, based on Paul's advice to the Philippians. And the significant part of our reading is in Philippians 3, chapters 13 and 14, where Paul says, "Brethren, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul's telling us that if we want to be focused on our growth, either as a church or personally as individuals, we must move on from the past. Now, he isn't saying literally to forget everything. There are things we should remember, of course, where we come from, lessons learned from mistakes we have made, the times we have seen God demonstrate his faithfulness, times of our thankfulness. He also isn't saying that this moving on absolves us from everything that's happened, although, of course, forgiveness is ours through repentance and faith. And as we read in 1 Peter, as the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. And then later, "Therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Of course, if we've wronged someone, we should try and put it right. Or if we have a problem with people, we should try and sort it out or let it go. And that fits with what Paul is telling us, that we can't and we shouldn't just live in the past. We have to keep moving forward. And I imagine that many of you are thinking, well, that's all very well, but the past means a lot to me. There are significant milestones and memories in my life, some maybe even associated with the church. And that's natural. And what Paul is saying doesn't diminish those events at all. Even at the birth of Jesus, the shadow of the cross lay over the manger. But that future in no way diminished what was happening at the time. Just as with those memories and events that are precious and important to us. But Paul is saying that they are where they belong, in the past. And we must look forward and reach forward from them. They were our stepping stones to reach where we are. And now we move forward. I was talking to our son, Sean, who's very determined and focused and, yeah, annoying, like all kids that age. And he's now flying big refueling jets for the US Air Force. He's just so focused and committed. And I said to him not long ago, "Sean, I hope you understand you have no rear view mirror. Everything is just forward. You don't have a rear view mirror at all." And I think he's at one of the extreme ends. But looking forward was important to Paul. He talked about it as the one thing I do, the one thing I do, looking forward, aiming for eternal life. He didn't let himself get distracted by the material things of life. His hope wasn't for things in this life. His hope was for things in his eternal life. And why should we do this? Well, firstly, a lot of people have a tendency to fixate on the past. And we can't and we shouldn't live in the past. What happened in the past has happened. We can't change it. We do have to keep moving forward. And we need to do this as a church and as individual Christians. We should be looking at what we're focused on as a congregation, as a nation, and of course, as individuals. Paul asks us to live up to what we have already attained. To live up to what we have already attained, because that gives us our foundation for moving forward. And what are we focused on now? Whatever it is, we need to establish where it sits in the context of what Paul is saying. Is it getting us closer to Christ, making us spiritually stronger? Or is it in some way only paying homage to the past, and by doing so taking the focus, however slightly, off our ability to move forward, to get closer to Jesus? What Paul is saying, I believe, is take care of what needs to be done, but move forward. And as a church, I think we are. I certainly hope and pray that we are. But you see, if we don't ask ourselves these questions, we run the risk of being complacent, being happy with the way things are, concentrating on peripherals. And you have to ask, is that what we're meant to be doing? Even a congregation needs to look back at the past and learn from it, but it can't use the past as a crutch and live in a mindset of, I remember when. Faith and redemption aren't based on man-made traditions or habits, however much we might revere them. So what do we see if we look at ourselves as a church now? We have strong and devoted congregations, even though some of them might be struggling, but they're full of people who love the Lord. We have outreach programs to the aged and to our young people. We're developing a sustainable and vital youth program, which Ben's very much involved in. We have the TEC in Perth teaching the gospel news to people from many walks of life, people from other faiths and people who previously had no faith. As a church, we're spiritually rich. So moving forward is a natural thing to do. And it's not just Paul urging us to move forward. From Isaiah 13, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah, moving forward. From Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. From Jeremiah, moving forward. From Proverbs, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Steps forward. And of course from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Moving forward towards Christ. So it becomes very clear that what we need to do as a priority is be diligent in our spiritual life. We need to make time for God in our schedule, make worship and service a priority in our lives. We're meant to grow and move forward towards that goal that Paul was striving for. As a church, we need to look for new opportunities to minister and grow. We need to make sure that our outreach and our efforts are relevant to us today. And while we have to value our past, we also have to ensure it doesn't become an obstacle to our growth. This is what Paul and those others are telling us. I was involved for some time with the congregation at Henderson Memorial at Leederville, which is close into Perth City. It's been in existence for more than 100 years. It was one of our original congregations. And some years ago, there was a huge split there, and the majority of the congregation left, and they left under some pretty terrible circumstances, tragically. And I took one of the first services there after the split, and there were 5 people in the congregation. 5. One of them, Ruth Donaldson, was well in her 90s at the time. Today, that congregation is thriving. It's multicultural, it's growing, it has an English and Japanese speaking minister, it has a large youth component, and spiritually it's very strong. They decided, when there were just 5 of them, they had to look forward, not backwards. They realised their only chance of survival was to heed what Paul said and live in the present while striving always to a future goal. That lady who was in her 90s lived to 105 as a faithful member of the congregation for as long as she was able to attend. And her dream and determination that the congregation would grow again and keep moving forward towards Christ was realised. She left a nice bequest to continue that work in the future and to continue it moving forward, and it still is. On the other hand, we sometimes see congregations fail when it looks as if they're trying to move forward. They have big dreams, they have big plans, maybe even big bank accounts, but they fail. And I wonder if it's because their plans are for the growth of the church as a building, as a business development, as a successful organisation, and not the growth of spirituality and desire to come closer to Christ are the reason. There's such a big difference between the two. And what about in our personal lives? Well, the message is the same. Learn to shake off the past and leave it behind. Because if we can't do that as individuals, then it will only be a weight to keep us where we are or where we were and prevent us from growing and moving on. But live up to what we have already attained. Paul's words. So how is your Christian life right now? Is there anything lacking? Is there any sin that needs to be dealt with? Because as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You see, God isn't looking merely to save us. He's looking to transform us. And transformation has to be a forward-looking process. God has work for all of us to do. And if we aren't moving forward, if we're stuck in the past, then we can't be transformed and we can't move forward. But don't despair, because even Paul knew that he had a way to go, that he wasn't all that he should be. He was aware of his faults and the areas in which he still needed to grow. Paul wasn't complete, as none of us are complete. But Paul knew that he had to keep moving forward. Age and infirmity weren't barriers. It wasn't about age or physical fitness. It was all about spiritual growth. We all learn from past mistakes, but they've been forgiven. We learn from past mistakes and we move on. Even Paul, with all his accomplishments, wasn't prepared to rest on his past or on his achievements. He knew there was still a lot to be done, but he had to move forward. How many times do we see a team win a grand final and then fail the next year because they're living on past glories? They haven't learned to let go of the past and live to the future. And so it is with us and our walk toward being more Christ-like. This is the start of a new year, and I wonder how many people have started a diet or started exercise classes. And by the end of February, how many of those diets and exercise classes will still be in full swing? Of course, we know that the person who gives up will miss out on the benefit that comes with perseverance and hard work. So as we enter 2022, we need to ask, what are we focused on? What is it that we're setting out to achieve? Is it business success? Is it fitness? Is it contentment? They're all nice goals. But Jesus tells us that when we seek first the kingdom of God, the other things we're concerned about will take care of themselves. And remember, Paul doesn't just want us to call ourselves Christians. He wants us to know Christ and to be always pressing forward to achieve that as our real goal for the new year and for our lives. So we have to ask if we are living for the future or whether we're stuck somewhere in the past, because one day, when we're at home with the Lord, everything will be behind us. But until then, we have a job to do, a job to which we've been called. And unless we're giving that our proper attention, we won't be doing it well. But we shouldn't be discouraged. The Christian life is one of growth and maturity. We can afford to look back and realise that. It's like watching a seedling grow. Watching it every day, it seems to take forever. But if we're concentrating on the future, one day we'll look and realise the seedling has grown all by itself while we were looking after more important things. Our growth, unlike the plant, isn't just physical. Our growth is also spiritual. But we'll only grow spiritually if we apply ourselves and keep our minds on the job at hand, read our Bibles, be prayerful, care for one another. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 to 7, we're reminded about this ongoing growth when he writes, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Now that's surely enough to keep us occupied for a while, isn't it? And just in case you missed any of it, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That should describe all of us. And here is Paul, the man who wrote more books of the New Testament than any other single writer. Here is Paul not resting on these accomplishments, not being satisfied with the wonderful things he had achieved. Rather, he was putting them behind him and not dwelling on them so that he could focus on what was yet to be accomplished. Paul had two goals. They're set out in chapter 13, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things that are before me. His focus was always on the cross. And how can we become like this? making an eternity with God the one thing in our lives. Well, I guess at some stage we come to the realisation that life is short and very uncertain. And this is taught to us from beginning to end of the Bible. So what's the point of taking up so much of it with material gain and with superficial and trivial things at the expense of looking forward and preparing ourselves for the glorious future that awaits us with our Lord and Saviour? We're told to reach forward, to strive, much as a runner strives to reach the tape at the finish line. Although, of course, turning to Christ with an obedient faith isn't the end, it's the beginning. Forgetting and reaching. That's Paul's message. Our sins are forgiven. We don't have to dwell on past mistakes. There's no advantage on dwelling on past accomplishments. Ours is to strive and reach forward to that far greater goal of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Forget the things behind and reach forward to what is ahead. As 1 Peter tells us, as the outcome of your faith, you receive the salvation of your souls. That was Paul's message to the Philippians too, and it stands as an important message to us today as we enter 2022. And may we do so with joyful hearts, firm in the knowledge that ahead of us lies salvation and eternal life in the loving arms of our Lord and Saviour, and that the things of the past, although it may be important for us to learn from, are indeed just things of the past, whose place is in the past, and not to distract us from our goal of salvation, paid for by the blood of our Saviour on the cross. And may he bless us to always remember that and strive forward to that greater goal. Amen.